The views expressed on the following live program do not necessarily reflect those of KSCO Radio, its staff, management, or advertisers. If something is said with which you disagree, please call us during the program in order to help us balance comments.
Well, here we go. This is Richard Quigley doing my little occasional weekly Thursday United States Freedom Fighter Forum on KSCO. And I'm not really in the mood to listen to any of that boogie today. In fact, my mood is pretty foul. This is Talk Radio. You're welcome to give us a call, 479-1080-477-1340, if you dare take exception. Today's not a good day. Let me get the business out of the way first. The California gubernatorial race got some comments in passing. As I had hoped, all this press coverage that Arnold has been getting have exposed him for what he is, a typical New Age Republican in California. California, I guess, is the way we pronounce it. Should he get elected, it will be California from now on. It's easier, I guess, for the rest of us to learn how to pronounce it than it is for him. In any case, Republican. This isn't even a wolf in sheep's clothing. You know, it's become such an embarrassment to the Democrats to be Democrat, and justifiably so, that they run to these other parties. They're showing up in the Peace and Freedom and the Green Party and anywhere they can go because nobody wants to be a Democrat. And so now what we got is Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know, some of these lunkheads actually think they're Republicans. That's where we got Wilson. And now here comes this lunkhead bodybuilder, Schwarzenegger. He's going to be the salvation of the Republican Party for California. I do take exception to his claims. I don't know how much of a plank the party has for pro-abortion, but he's definitely, I was corrected this morning. He's not pro-abortion. He's pro-choice for abortion, pro-choice. And so, but I think it's pretty interesting for a Republican candidate to come out pro-gun control. And, then of course the lies. You guys really want a guy that lies to you going in? You know, Bustamante said he wasn't going to run, and now he's running and has some support. Again, like I said last week, the great quote to that is nobody ever went broke underestimating the taste or intelligence of the American public. I think that holds as true in California these days as anywhere. But you want to elect a liar, just go ahead and elect one that you know to be. And, of course, in that group is our old buddy Schwarzenegger, who wasn't going to take any campaigns, but campaign funds. But lo and behold, here he goes. I would recommend for all you Republicans, if you know what a Republican is, conservative Republicans, you know, the kind of folks that thought that Barry Goldwater was the last great Republican that we've seen, take a look at Tom McClintock. Take a long look at Tom McClintock. Barry Goldwater, as a state senator in Arizona, cleaned up that legislature in less than a year just by turning on the lights. You got to know where the roaches are hiding before you can turn on the lights. Arnold doesn't know from nothing about where the roaches hide in Sacramento. He suspects there are some, and it's good rhetoric for him to say it, but he don't have a clue. You know, there was a theory put out here, and it keeps popping up from time to time, people telling these other Republican candidates they ought to bow out and let that let Schwarzenegger have the lead there and quit splitting the vote and they're just going to assure that Bustamante is elected and all that kind of junk. And a question was put to him recently on a radio show, talk show down in Southern California. And he pointed out, you know, that he wonders why it is nobody's asking that question of Arnold. Why don't you get out and make room for Tom McClintock? Tom started off with 3% support statewide. He has doubled that to twice, now to 12%, according to the latest L.A. poll. And that was before Simons dropped out with his 8%, or pardon me, 6% that Simons had. The pundits say that five of those will go to McClintock, which puts him around 18. And what's happening is that people are hearing him, and as they hear him, they realize that he is an experienced voice in Sacramento. He is a conservative voice for California. California, not California, California. And our best shot, if we're going to get this state cleaned up, I believe rests with Tom McClintock. So he did point out also in that interview that Schwarzenegger's getting more conservative with every interview. And that's pretty much true. I mean, his rhetoric keeps turning that direction, but he can't let go of those roots, gun control. Gun control. Why am I not surprised that the Austrian-born son of a Nazi would favor gun control? Anyhow, I got something stuck in my throat. You guys are going to have to deal with that in a minute, but I'll keep muttering on here. Next thing, congratulations, Judge McAdams. I guess they're going to move him over to the 6th. He's going to fit right in. There's good news and bad news there. I don't know. You know, I've watched Richard's career since he was a municipal court judge. I never got a solid read on him. My experiences with him have not been the best, but then, you know, I can't judge a guy by whether or not he agrees with my position legally. That's not the sole basis for my determinations. And so I guess it was probably an okay choice for him to go on up to the 6th. He's not going to do anything to pollute that water. If you folks think that folks hold the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals U.S. in low regard, you have no idea what a laughable bunch that group over in the 6th over there in San Jose are. They write down and don't write down some of the stupidest opinions that have ever been turned out in the appellate court in California. Right in your own backyard, this conservative pool, pardon me, liberal pool. So I guess Richard's off to the appellate court, and now we can all sit and pray that we don't get an appointment to that seat before we have a chance to voice one. And speaking of voices and opinions, 2004 will be the first opportunity that you folks will have had to decide whether long-time sitting judge now, because of the way they did it, appointed by Pete Wilson, Art Danner, should be allowed to stay. And I recommend you take a long, close look at that one. Dump Danner 2004 will be my battle cry coming into next year's election. He is one. I had a lawyer down at the courthouse point out to me that there's two kinds of judges. One is the one that will follow the law no matter where it leads. And I don't know about you folks, but when you figure that the law is all we got, and politics and personal opinion shouldn't even venture into the game, that's what I much prefer, is a judge that would follow the law wherever it leads. And then there's the other judge, the other type of judge. They figure out where they want to go, and then they sit there much like an attorney would and move the law around to support their position, which I have experienced firsthand from none less than Art Danner, and the most vile ways. I mean, this guy, with the help of the Santa Cruz PD, which I'll be talking about later, has sent him up. So if he's still around when the federal courts finally rule on his competence as a judge, I believe you'll hear and read about one of the most severe sanctions and reprimands of a superior court in the state of California in our entire history. The guy's a buffoon by the best of standards, in my humble opinion. Anyway, moving on, just off the wire, California Davis issues a statement on the death of a highway patrolman, Officer DeStell of the Highway Patrol. And he suffered the fate of many motorcyclists. In fact, half of the motorcyclists that die on the roadways, as near we can tell, the figures that we get tell us that about half of the motorcyclists that die in the state of California overall die from some vehicle operator failing to yield the right-of-way. And apparently somewhere out by Riverside, some moron decided to turn left in front of a motorcycle, leaving the inevitable, the officer could not avoid crashing into this vehicle or whatever. But our sincere regrets to his family. As a biker, I've had to live with a lot of that over my life, but it's never pleasant when one of the guys on two wheels goes down to an inattentive cage driver. So our sympathies to his, our family, and our support for Gray Davis and at least acknowledging and honoring this officer for dying in the line of duty. I understand they're going to be flying the flags at the state capitol at half staff until he is the funeral is completed. So that bit of bad news. Fundraiser is going on. They looks like the Skills Center is trying to raise some money, and the Coffin Cheaters Motorcycle Club have gone out on a limb and put together a little benefit. And if you have any questions about what's going on there, you can call Gary at 462-3232 or Bill at 763-3973. All this money is going to the Skills Center in Santa Cruz. Let's give them a hand there, folks. You got a few bucks laying around. I know this is hard times, but it's even harder for those folks that rely on the generosity of strangers. So if you're inclined, again, Gary's number is 462-3232. Bill can be reached at 763-3973. And then before I get into rogue cops, bad cops, idiot cops in Santa Cruz, and guess what, Mark? It ain't your turn into boxes this week. Mark Tracy gets another reprieve. We found some folks he'll probably be proud to hire as soon as he finds out what I think of them. Except one of them happens to be Mexican, and we know that Mark don't like Mexicans. Anyway, the only other thing on my list of things that are coming up is the 20th of September. Ghost Mountain Riders are having a their last days of summer run. This is an annual event that's been going on a long time. This is the 18th annual. And what can I tell you? It the meeting's going to be everybody gets together up in Felton as usual. Sign up is at the there's a restaurant up there. What is the name of that restaurant? Don Quixote's, from 9 to 11 on the 20th of September. So be there or don't. I'll probably be there this year. I rode with them last year. It was kind of fun. Get in that pack with all them motorcycles making all that noise. It's one of the reasons that we ride. So that covers all that stuff. Now we get down to the Santa Cruz PD. And the reason for my consternation today, I got a couple helmet tickets from a couple morons that can't read the law and can't figure out they're supposed to abide by it. Rogue cops with guns and badges down in Santa Cruz. Interesting day. I have been pretty much let alone because folks in this county, the officers in this county, have figured out what the law says about what's required. In the state of the law, just so you'll know, about issuing a helmet ticket. Now, you're not going to believe this language because I don't believe there's another statute ever been interpreted this way, but this is the way it is, and this is a report. This is simply a report by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals on what the California courts have found relative to enforcement of the helmet law. They said, quote, because an officer is required to have probable cause to believe that a motorcyclist wearing a helmet that was certified by the manufacturer at the time of purchase has actual knowledge of the helmet's noncompliance with 218, an officer who relies on CHP policy in his own discretion is not acting as a, quote, prudent person, relying on, quote, trustworthy information, if he completely disregards the motorcyclist's knowledge or lack thereof. Thus, the CHP policy as carried out by CHP officers and other affiliated law enforcement agency violates the Fourth Amendment. Now, what that says in layman's terms is, unless the officer has competent evidence that there has been a test run on a biker's style of helmet, and that helmet has failed that testing, and that the rider has actual knowledge of that determination of noncompliance, it is a violation of that rider's Fourth Amendment rights to issue a citation. Now, in the face of this, Officer Martin of the Santa Cruz Police Department, apparently urged on by that ludicrous opinion by Judge Arthur Danner, the one where he says against what I just read to you from the ninth. Danner's standard for motorcycle helmet compliance is common objective experience. Now, it tells you what a helmet is. Now, let me make sure that you understand that I know what I'm saying. Yes, his words are common objective experience. Now, if you want to read about this decision, you want to read the rest of the words around it, you want to see what a real nincompoop this guy is, you can go up to a little search engine called google.com. And when they give you the search name, the search information, you type in the name Arthur Danner. Now, it will come up, that opinion that he wrote, upheld by three judges, one of whom, by the way, is, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, let me see, it was Kelly, Attic. Damn, I think at McAdams, the guy that's going over the six now was sitting on that appellate panel, upheld on appeal. Common objective experience. And yes, I understand that the nature of experience is that it is subjective. There is no such thing as an objective experience. And when you put the words together, common objective experience, what you're doing is compounding the stupid. So to have that opinion come from a judge in Santa Cruz County is stupid. To have a cop write a ticket based on that opinion is corrupt. To have a police department like the Santa Cruz PD that will not amend that cop's behavior to comply with the requirements of the law as written and interpreted by the California courts is corruption. And it all constitutes a conspiracy to pervert and obstruct justice, which, by the way, is of itself a misdemeanor at the least and a felony at the most that is being committed by that cop. But we won't deal with that because, of course, our district attorney won't answer the question either. And the question put to these guys over and over and over again is, do you have any suggestions as to how a motorcyclist can comply with the provisions of CVC section 27803B, which is the helmet law? Now, I've dealt with a couple sergeants down at the Santa Cruz Police Department. One of them is Sergeant Bailey, who believes that the way that you give equal rights to blacks is to treat everybody as bad as you'd treat blacks. Then you don't elevate the blacks, you just treat everybody else as bad as you'd treat blacks. And in his conversations with me, he decided that he was going to speak on behalf of the massa to one of the slaves. And I don't go for people talking down to me, so Bailey and I don't talk anymore. And then I ran into another sergeant they got down there, and God help you guys that live in Santa Cruz, this is a woman that apparently heads up your internal affairs department. And I put my question to her, how can a motorcyclist comply with certainty with the law? And lo and behold, why, she recommended her helmet, an HJC full-face helmet. So I went and I looked to find out whether or not that woman's helmet was illegal. Now, she doesn't know the model number of it, so I can't give you a for sure answer. But HJC is a helmet that has been tested, unlike mine. And it has been shown to fail testing, unlike mine. And the only thing lacking here for her to be in violation of the law by wearing her full-face Beltspire special helmet is her having actual knowledge that there's been a determination of noncompliance on her helmet, which, by the way, hasn't happened. All it's done is failed testing. Just for the record, that's where this thing is written. It's in the cracks. But there have been, since 1994 through 2001, there have been 10 different models of the HJC full-face helmets that have failed preliminary testing. This is the abbreviated version of all those helmets that you folks look at out there that you think are DOT approved. And God, you cannot imagine how much those words offend me. You guys think that I need to be wearing something big, heavy, and plastic because you believe that there's such a thing as DOT approved helmets. And I don't know if I've explained this to you yet or not, but there's not. When these Santa Cruz police officers, when the first one, Officer Martin, who apparently he's going to spearhead this ability to get Quigley in line, by God, we're going to get him acting right. He's decided to take it on himself to do all this. He made the mistake early on of explaining that my helmet doesn't match any description of a DOT-approved helmet he's ever seen. Well, I wrote him a letter and tried to explain to him, and I did it real slow, because I know that these guys are not allowed to be too smart. If they're allowed to be too smart, they can't be police officers. So they, don't go getting after me now. There's some great cops out there. I'm just talking about the bad ones. I'm talking about the stupid ones. I'm talking about the ones that are too stupid to be smart enough to learn anything. Got their head filled with what they think they know. This is taken from some letters that are available on the NHTSA website about DOT-approved helmets. So for all you folks that are looking for a DOT-approved helmet, from the mouth of Chief Counsel of NHTSA or from the typewriter or computer, the term DOT-approved has no basis in either fact or law. We have no authority to approve or disapprove items of motor vehicle equipment. If a DOT symbol appears on an item of equipment or as a container, the DOT, the DOT, the letters, is the equipment manufacturer's certification that the equipment conforms to all applicable federal motor vehicle safety standards. By the way, my helmet bears that insignia, and to the best of my knowledge, has in fact been certified by the manufacturers as being in compliance with all those applicable things. And there has been no determination by an independent testing laboratory as the law requires. So I certainly don't have the actual knowledge. But anyway, from another letter, we note that as a matter of law, there's no such thing as DOT-approved parts. From another letter, as a matter of information, your use of the words DOT-approved reflects a common misconception. We have no authority to approve or disapprove. This is from the Chief Counsel in NHTSA. From another letter, DOT itself has no authority to approve or not approve any item of equipment, and the phrase DOT-approved has no meaning and should not be used. And by the way, the police department has all of this. So on Sunday, I get the ticket. And I figure, okay, you know, we're just dealing with a cop here. Good cop working on bad information. I had no reason cop attitude about him. He's just uninformed. So I went down after the ticket was over, and I stopped by the police station. By the way, the whole time I'm sitting here talking to this guy, he's got what I guess you'd call a backup. There's some cops standing behind him that never got his hand off his gun the whole time. This kid's probably, well, I'm guessing he's shaving age, or he's got to be at least 18 or he wouldn't be a cop. But he ain't been shaving long, I can tell you that. The whole time that I'm getting a ticket for an equipment violation, this punk is standing back there with his hand on his gun. If he's that scared to be there, he ought not to be in uniform. And when he kills somebody, then I can come back and say, okay, well, I tried to tell you. He's too scared to have a gun, but no, that's okay. You wait until somebody dies, I guess. Anyhow, so I leave the scene of the ticket, and I go down to the Santa Cruz Police Department, and I go down there because I'm going to find out from their officer on duty what it's going to take to comply with the helmet law so I don't get no more tickets. And that's a beautiful day. I want to ride Santa Cruz for a while. So I'm going to get back to that story in just a minute, but we got other business we got to take care of, as is our custom this time of day. We're going to catch some commercials, and I'll be right back.
Hi, this is Don Fredrickson from GotNet. GotNet's been serving the Monterey Bay area since 1994 with high-quality, affordable internet service. At GotNet, we take pride in offering a higher level of personalized service. Our customer support technicians are knowledgeable and friendly. We're here 7 days a week to serve you, from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. during the week and noon to 5 on the weekends. GotNet is ready to answer questions, solve your problems, and get you on your way. Call GotNet today at 460-2000. Food, shelter, clothing, net. GotNet?
Like I said, we're not going to waste a lot of time with music today. Don't have time for it. So I go down to the police department after this ticket from Officer Martin. And there's a little telephone on Sunday. There's nobody working on Sunday except the cops out on the street. So I pick up the phone outside the police station, and I want a sergeant to come down there and explain to me how to comply with this law in Santa Cruz so I don't have to put up with this crap anymore. And, of course, they haven't got anybody available to do that. So I figure, all right, it's a beautiful day. I'll go on about my business, and I'll stop back down on Monday. So I went on about my business. And, of course, everywhere else, like I say, everywhere else in the county, everybody pretty much understands that I'm in full compliance. And if I'm not, they certainly don't have the evidence it would take to show otherwise. And they are prohibited by law from bothering me about it. But nonetheless, here they come. So Monday I go down to the police station, and all these braggadoce big shots that know all this stuff and are telling me how all this stuff works, none of them will come out and talk to me on Monday either. So I'm thinking, well, Okay, now what am I going to do? We're just going to start stacking up tickets now because we got some cop down here don't understand the law and a department that won't tell me how to comply with it. So I go ahead and I head on out from there and I'm riding over to the courthouse and lo and behold, I get another cop to stop me. And this is the stop where I discover what a punk Martin is and I meet a guy by the name, I believe his name is Vasquez. The only thing I can give you for sure is his badge number is 155. And I think it's Vasquez. And what an unmitigated, I mean, when I handed him my paperwork, I accidentally gave him the ticket I'd gotten from the day before. I tried to explain to him that the reason I was down there was to get this question answered, that I needed an answer to it if I was going to comply with the law. And, of course, he wants to use that to write the ticket. And then started the threats. By the way, the call in lines are 479-1080, 477-1340. Robert, Jeff, I see you. I'll be with you in a second. Anyway, here's Officer Vasquez. And he starts writing the ticket out, and now he's trying to figure out how he can arrest me and tow my motorcycle. The first thing I did was ask him what happens if I demand to be taken to a magistrate over this, because by law in California, you're entitled to an immediate appearance in front of a magistrate any time that you are arrested for any crime that is not an arrestable offense, say an infraction. And technically, an arrest for a ticket is, in fact, an infraction, is an arrest, so you are under arrest. And the law reads, whenever any person is arrested for any violation of this code, meaning the vehicle code, not declared to be a felony, the arrested person shall be taken without unnecessary delay before a magistrate within the county in which the offense charge is alleged to have been committed in any of the following cases. C, when the person arrested demands an immediate appearance before a magistrate. Now, it says shall be taken. Now, when they say taken, it's long since been concluded that that means escorted, that means followed, that means what a good cop will do, since he already has your license in his hand, your registration and insurance. He say, oh, you want to see the magistrate? Okay, head on down there. I'll meet you down there. See you there in 10 minutes. Well, by the time that Vasquez and I got to this part of the conversation, Officer Martin was there. And Officer Martin, judging me on his own character, of course, wants to know what assurance he's got that I'll get to the cop shop, I mean to the court. Now, I'm not their boss. I don't have to train them. It's not my job to train them. I'm not supposed to have to tell them how to do that. Santa Cruz Police Department is supposed to have trained them how to do that. But, yeah, that's all it is. They just hold your license and follow you down to the courthouse. And, by the way, when you go in under 40302C of the Vehicle Code, demand a probable cause hearing for the arrest. Because at a probable cause hearing for an arrest, what will happen is that the judge will tell them to take you back to your car and let you go, take them back to your vehicle, because you can't arrest somebody in the state of California for an infraction. Now, not only did these guys not like that, now they tell me they're going to arrest me and impound my motorcycle. As you guys know, I got a new one. I'm not really anxious to get it all scratched up with a bunch of tow truck hooks. So I went ahead and agreed to sign the ticket, and when I got done, I went down to see who the magistrate was that I would have seen had they followed the law. And by the way, this whole thing would have been over in 10 or 15 minutes in Judge Barton's court, except that Judge Barton, when I tried to get in to see him, he did arrange for me to go in and talk to me, and then he went ahead and set this thing for a hearing on the 18th of September, which is the same date that the cop had written down for the arraignment, and they're going to intend to proceed as usual. I have since had to ask him to get a couple orders to get the Santa Cruz PD to follow the law. Judge Barton steadfastly refuses to do that. His attitude has changed very little from when I disqualified him from hearing any of my cases some 8 years ago. And so I will be now moving into federal court for what's known as a removal. And what a removal does is that puts all this behavior, including their past behavior, into the hands of the federal court. And they'll be able to read such things as Judge Danner's comments about his opinion about the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. And they'll be able to read the district attorney's opinion about how he feels about the authority and jurisdiction of the federal courts. And these guys have their own little turf war going. And trust me when I tell you, when I commented a while back that there'll be some comments coming from the feds to these courts, I believe, in as much as I believe that freedom is, after all, our right if we're prepared to fight for it, that the federal courts will not put up with the state courts shining on the federal courts relative to the issues of my United States constitutionally protected rights. And with that in mind, I'm going to talk to Jeff over in Capitola. And he wants to talk about those guys over there writing helmet tickets, don't you, Jeff? I know they're doing it.
Yeah, I just wanted to make mention. I actually have some friends in the Capitola PD, and they informed me the other day, I guess, that the Capitola City Council and the Capitola City Manager have decided that they don't like bikes in Capitola anymore, so they're on the lookout not just for helmet violations, loud pipes.
Oh, they do the same thing. And loud pipes is another area where the law is not clear enough for them. They think that they can test them with their little dB meters.
Right.
Yeah, what they don't understand is that because they're not certified to conduct that test, they got no evidence to provide to the court. You got to be certified to run a test before you can... Have you ever been in traffic court when they do radar tickets?
Oh, yeah.
The cop's got to have been certified to operate the radar gun, and then he's got to have calibrated the gun. All those things are requirements of the law. Now, they may not be requirements of this court in Santa Cruz, but they're requirements of the law. And as far as I'm concerned, them cowards down there that have gotten them tickets and they're not prepared to fight them, shame on them.
Well, you know, but what they do most of the time is they're preying on the tourists that come over here, because that's what they were saying. They said make sure that they try to go after the tourists and they get that tourist dollar. One way or another.
So that's why when I was riding by down there with my baseball cap looking helmet firmly in place, by the way, it ain't a baseball cap. I don't play baseball. But when I went riding down by there, they had these two guys jacked up over to the side for wearing these, what they don't like, these beanie helmets.
Uh-huh.
And I rode by them three times. And these bikers are pointing at me as I'm going by. Why aren't you messing with him? Why aren't you messing with him? And them cops wouldn't even look my direction. And I have no idea why, because I guess they hadn't talked to Martin, because Martin can tell them, by God, you can not only get him, but you can threaten to steal his motorcycle. You know, they did this back in Wisconsin back in the 70s. It was one of those times when this thing became crystallized. They passed a law in Wisconsin in the 70s that said you had to have two mirrors on your motorcycle. Now, I don't know why it is, but there's some people out there just don't like people telling them what to do. You know what I mean?
I hear you.
So what they did was, is they got dental mirrors, and they stuck that second mirror on the motorcycle. They just taped up a dental mirror over there on the other side of that motorcycle. Well, these officers knew, well, that's not what the legislature meant, by God, we'll fix them bikers, you know. And they started to begin writing tickets to these guys for violating that statute. And it took a long time. It took years. Because those courts are, in some degree, as corrupt as any. And so they just knew. It doesn't matter that the law didn't give it to them. They knew that's not what the legislature had in mind. But when it finally got to court and it was finally resolved, the court said, as of course we have the right to expect, that if the legislature wrote it the way they did, then the riders, in fact, had two mirrors on their motorcycles and the officers were wrong to issue the tickets. And if they had a problem with the way the statute was written, because it did not clearly delineate what was required, then the officer and their department needed to go to the legislature, not start harassing bikers over a thin law. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. I've been pulled over a couple of times for, I have my mirrors, or my turn signals are in my mirrors.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a new thing, and they don't know how to deal with that.
Yeah, yeah, you know, and... You're lucky you didn't get tickets, because if they don't like it, they believe, well, we're the police. We can do anything we want.
Yeah.
And they get that from these crooked courts. And I'm telling you, when they rely on the courts to be crooked for their behavior, to support their behavior, that, sir, is a conspiracy with a perverted justice system to violate your constitutional rights, and that is absolutely patently against the law. They should be arrested for it. But our district attorney is never going to do that. And I'm going to talk some more about Bob Lee, but I ain't going to have time today. We got to talk about that man that wanted the job of straightening out the law enforcement stuff and the prosecutions in this county. And as far as I'm concerned, he is as much he has had the question on his desk since March. I asked him, how can a motorcyclist comply with certainty with that statute? And he will not tell me. But at the same time, he's totally prepared to go out there and prosecute me on the basis of some cop's words, cop's opinion, that I don't know what I'm doing. Bob Lee is not all we hoped he would be. Have you got anything else, Jeff?
No, that's it. I got to go back to work. Anyway, great show today, and good to talk to you, Richard.
Thank you very much.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. And Robert Norris. Now, here's a guy that knows more about the cops down in Santa Cruz than probably anybody. They decided they want me to be on their side, Robert.
Well, there you are.
They want me to get into their life. I explained to Sergeant McMahon today, I says, ma'am, I have never bothered you folks. I've allowed you to do whatever you wanted to do. I've just allowed all these stories about you running amok. I've stayed out of it. And now you come, my reward is that you come right square in my lap with your malfeasant crap. And I realize that I probably should have been down there on the streets with you a long time ago. What do you know about Officer Martin you'd like to share?
Well, Officer Martin is taking me to court for a February ticket for jaywalking. When in fact, of course, I'm not guilty of jaywalking by the very actual, as you aren't guilty of violating the helmet law, so I'm not guilty of jaywalking because of the specific wording of the law.
Yeah, what you're guilty of is violating the cop's sensibilities about what you ought to be doing according to his opinion because he's the cop.
That's right.
Yeah, that is such a sick thing. And you know, now, of course, you know, Robert, and I'm, you know, I've come to the conclusion that it's this way because people are essentially cowards. They'll sit around and they'll tell you that the reason they allow this behavior is because they got to work and they can't take time off and they can't do this and they can't do BS. What they need to do is get off their butts and go down and do something. They're scared. They're cowards. They're so cowardly, they're cowards to admit that they're cowards.
Now, remember, you're dealing with armed individuals who are working together, as you pointed out, in a conspiracy with the courts to essentially selectively enforce whenever they want to do it.
But they don't constitute any measurable portion of our society. We have the people that fund them are the ones that are causing the problems because they do not step beyond their cowardice to learn what's going on and face it. They feel no sense of obligation to their immediate lineage, never mind to all the generations to come. To get involved, they go hide in their little shells and, oh, God, please don't do it to me. Please don't do it to me. Oh, you bunch of babies. I'm so sick of them. I'm so sick of them. And today's the day I'm likely to voice it. Boy, it's a good thing I only got 4.5 minutes left.
Boy, I'm glad you're voicing it, Richard. I also want to point out that Barton has a bad history, even as recently as, the juggling arrest of Tom Noddy downtown, who was arrested for juggling, violating the juggling law, which then the city council rushed to change with an emergency statute to make it legal to juggle.
No, Barton does not regard people's constitutional rights. That's the reason I disqualified him years ago, and it's the reason that I'm going to the federal court for relief on this one now. He simply does not. And I think it's because he came out of the DA's office.
Well, they all did, you know, except for your friend McAdams, who is markedly better,
stuff.
You know.
Well, he's not markedly better because he's been swimming in the same pool, breathing the same air with those guys so long he's lost it. And I don't think he can save the Sixth. I don't think that Gray Davis put him there because he thought he was going to save it. I'm starting to think that Ron George, who is my friend, I do believe that Ron George was going to fix all this stuff, and he didn't. By the way, Margaret called in, thinks I should run for governor, and God love her. If she didn't come with a should, I wouldn't know what to do with Margaret. But
listen, Rick, you got a lot to say, and you got about 2 minutes to say it. I hope you can play the censored tape of Nielsen at some point. I keep waiting to hear that.
One day, I hope that my credibility will warrant the need for me to establish
my credibility.
You've
established your credentials. You've been specifying chapter and verse of the law. You've been talking about your specific experiences. I'm going to hang up and let you talk some more. Thanks.
Thank you, Robert. Robert Norris, he's one of our local activists and one of the guys that whether you agree with his politics or you don't, I swear he's no coward. He does put his butt on the line. The man's been to jail a few times for your freedom. And by the way, when it comes to jaywalking, an impossible charge, as I explained to you a couple weeks ago, in 1995, the legislature found and declared that driving a motor vehicle on the public roadways is a privilege. The only right that they have ever acknowledged to use the roadways is to walk. They have told me repeatedly I'm welcome to get out there and walk around. Well, if they will acknowledge that walking on the roadways is a right and that driving is a privilege, then excuse me, but right trumps privilege every time. I can't jaywalk. I can get out there and walk around by their reasoning. Get out there and walk around. The traffic is backed up from here to Tucumcari. But in any case, this weekend, instead of me going out and enjoying myself with the rest of you folks on this holiday weekend, I will be sitting at a computer putting the paperwork together to get over to the federal court to see if we can get to the federal court to have them explain to the Santa Cruz Police Department real slow that oath that they took to get the power that they wield that oath that they took was to support and defend the Constitution. And embodied in those laws, they call the Constitution, are the protections of your liberty and mine. And that is the only part of their job that they are sworn to do. All this other behavior, this punk nonsense. And one more thing. I hope I got time to get it all in. You people wonder where the gangs come from. Let me tell you where the gangs come from. The first gangs that we had in this country were the Irish. And they got themselves together to protect themselves from the discrimination of people against the Irish. The next gangs that came into knowing in this country were the Italians, and they formed gangs to protect themselves from the Irish. And when you look in Watsonville and you look at those gangs, you've got to understand that the gang that promoted the formation of those gangs in Watsonville, wear green uniforms, drive around in green and white cars, and work for a guy named Mark Tracy. It is a defense mechanism, the formation of these gangs. That's why they're there. And I'm telling you, listen to me, whether you live here or somewhere else on the planet, if we don't get wrapped around doing something to defend this country, it's going to slip away from you. I'm getting ready to leave. Whoops, I got the wrong button again. Damn, I hate to do that. All right, I'm going to leave early today. I've messed everything up. I'm just so mad I don't know what to do. This is KSCO AM 1080. It's been Richard Quigley with the Freedom Fighter Forum. Thank you very much, Michael. I'm out of here.